we are getting back into our series on soul training. And in this series, we've been kind of thinking about working out, to working our spiritual muscles out, and growing stronger in our relationship with Jesus, in building our relationship with Him, in making Him the center of our lives and growing as His disciples. Soul training or disciplining ourselves to be godly is not something that we do because of a desire to earn God's favor or earn salvation or earn love, but it's something that we do in a response to what God has already done for us. He has lavished His love on us. He has sent Jesus to die for us, to save us from sin and death, to set us free. And now we have the opportunity to live for Him. And so part of that means that as we live for Him, we partner with the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, and we begin to shape our lives, let Him shape our lives around His priorities and His purposes. So we've talked about things like reading the Bible, about prayer, about worship, about evangelism, and sharing our faith. This morning, we are going to be talking about another way to train our hearts to follow God. Train our hearts to make God's priorities our own. And that is in the area of stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship is simply a word that we use to talk about managing what is someone else's. All of us have been in situations where we have been given things of value, whether they have been our brother or sister's toys, or whether it's been managing our ailing parents' estate, or something in between, given the keys to the car by your dad when you were young. At times in life, we are given what is not our own, and we're asked to use it, but use it in a way that takes care of what is given, that recognizes that it is not ours, but it belongs to another. So that while we use it for our benefit, we then give it back one day. This is kind of what stewardship is all about. And when we look at the Bible, we see that God desires for His people to be good stewards of the things that are His. And so there are things that we as Christians need to have in our mind, a mindset that helps us to be good stewards. These kind of people who manage what God has given. And so this morning I just want to look at quickly at a few different ways that we approach this idea of stewardship. This is a huge topic. It can go off in all sorts of different directions. And so what I'm hoping to do this morning is just give you more of a way of thinking about it and thinking about your life so that you can begin to see different facets of the way that you live in light of this idea of stewardship. So what are some things that faithful stewards are about? We looked at the story. We just heard the story about the master and his servants that Jesus tells. It's a parable about the kingdom of God. And he says a master was going on a trip, and so he left his servants, three servants, in charge of his estate. And he gave money to each one, different values of money, some huge amounts, some less. But each one was given this responsibility to take what was the master's and use it for the master's benefit. In this we see, I think, several different principles that we can apply to our own understanding of what stewardship means for us. The first is that God owns everything, and so to be a faithful steward, we recognize God's ownership. You know, when we live our life, especially here in America, it's easy to look at life as an accumulation of possessions. Some of us own a home. We own the property that home is built on. We own a car. We own the things that furnish our home. We own this, our clothes, this, that, and the other thing. And as we go to work, we accumulate money to buy more possessions for ourselves. But we go to work and we get money, and money seems like it's built around this idea of accumulating for me. So I invest for my retirement. I invest in various things so that I can make more money for myself. This is the way that our culture says that life should be. We should be accumulating more for ourselves. But God says that there's a caveat to this that we have to understand. And that's that while we are earning money, while we are buying things, that everything that we have, from the money that we're paid to the things that we use it to purchase, belongs to God. It belongs to God first and foremost, and is simply entrusted to us to care for. We see this throughout Scripture. Colossians 1:16b through 17 says everything was created through Him, talking about Jesus, and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. In the Psalms, we see in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Not just little parts of it here and there. Everything belongs to God. The world and all its people belong to Him. Job 41:11 says, "Who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine." And Romans 11:36 says, "For everything comes from Him and exists by His power and is intended for His glory." All glory to Him forever. Amen. In the very beginning of the Bible, we read that in the beginning, what? God created. Out of nothing, He formed all that we see, all that we are, all that this world is, what came from His hands and was molded by Him. It's His possession by right. But not only that, not only did God create, but the Bible says that there's even another level of ownership that God has, and that's one of a payment that was made. Not only does He own it because He created it, but He purchased all that there is. Purchased you and I through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves. For God bought you with a price, so you must honor God with your body." Do you think about this much? Do you think about the fact that nothing that you possess is your own? That even your body does not belong to you, but is the possession of God by creation and by blood? This is what the Bible says about the world in which we live. But yet, we buy into this concept that we need to take and accumulate, not for God, but for ourselves. We need to hold on to what we have and claim it as our own. It's interesting because I think I can read these verses, and if you have been a Christian for any given amount of time, you can say, well, yeah, that makes sense. I believe all those things. I believe that God created. I believe that I am a possession of God through Christ Jesus. But the idea of believing it in theory and believing it in practice are two totally different things. If we believe that God, God's ownership extends to all things, this is where the pictures are going to come in. This is what Donald Whitney says in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He says, that means the house or apartment you live in, is God's house, that the trees in your yard are God's trees, that the grass you mow is God's grass. As Kim has been out trying to catch up on the weeds of the in our garden, this is appropriate. The garden that you planted this summer, it's God's garden. The car that you drive is God's car. The clothes that you're wearing right now are God's clothes. The clothes hanging in your closet at home are God's clothes. The food in your cabinet, it belongs to God. The books on your shelves are God's books. All your furniture, everything else inside your home, it belongs to God. Do you believe that? If you do, it affects things in your life. It affects the way that you look at your possessions. A mindset that says, I own everything, is a mindset that holds everything tightly. It clings to what I have and wants to hold on and keep as much as possible. But a mindset that sees that God owns everything is a mindset that holds everything loosely with open hands. A mindset that says, how can God use what I have and possess for His glory rather than my own? If we want to talk about being good stewards, this is the starting point. We can't talk about being good stewards of what God's given unless we get to this place in our minds that God owns it all. It's His. This is what the servants in the story had to, first and foremost, it doesn't go into detail about their thought process, but first and foremost, they had to acknowledge that the large sums of money that they were receiving, multiple years' worth of wages, was not theirs, but was their master's. Then they could move on to that next step of managing well. The next thing we see in the story is that a good servant or good steward serves God's interests or his master's interests. If everything belongs to God, then it follows that it should be used for God, or at least be available to God. Right? If it's His, it should be available to Him. It should be used for Him. In Matthew 25, 16 through 17, in the story about the servants, we see the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. And the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. In other translations, it emphasizes this element of time, in that it says that they immediately or at once took what was their master's and started to use it, invest it, to get a return. They didn't sit around and use half of it up and then think, well, what should I do with the rest? They didn't all of a sudden walk around town saying, look at all that I have. Look how rich I am. They took what their master had and started to use it for his purposes, for his glory. Many of you might remember the story of Joseph from Genesis. Genesis 39, Joseph is sold into slavery. He is taken as a slave to Egypt, and Joseph becomes the slave of the chief guard, or the head guard for the palace. Becca was just busy sharing with the kids over this last week this story at camp. She was the speaker at camp this year. And so this story is one of a man who was broken, brought from a high place, but made a servant. And he was brought into his master's household, and he was given, because of his gifts, given responsibility to manage all that was Potiphar's, his family, his slaves, everything. As again, Doug Whitney says this, as a slave, Joseph was a steward when Potiphar placed him over his household. And he says, since slaves own nothing, Joseph owned nothing. But he managed everything that Potiphar owned on his behalf. The management of Potiphar's resources included the use of them to meet his own needs. But Joseph's main responsibility was to use them to Potiphar's interests. That's our task, Doug Whitney says. God wants us to use and enjoy the things he permits us to have. But as stewards of them, we must remember that they all belong to him and should be used for his kingdom. I heard a story recently. I'm trying to remember where it was from, but it was a story of a superintendent of an apartment complex, and the superintendent was given $25,000 from the owner of the apartment, and that $25 was supposed to be used to make improvements for the tenants in their apartments because the building was starting to get dilapidated and needed repair. So the superintendent went to the store and started to price out bathtubs and things for bathroom improvements in all the apartments, and he began talking to the owner or the salesperson, and the salesperson brought him over to a really nice top of the line tub and said, you know, this has all the bells and whistles, the jets, it has everything that you could possibly want, and this would be perfect for your tenants. Well, it's a little more expensive than I can afford, the superintendent said. But the salesperson continued to talk and say, well, you know, this is top of the line, state of the art. And even if you can't afford it for everyone else, shouldn't you have the best of the best? You have enough money for you, and you can get the rest of the tenants something else. But wouldn't this look great in your apartment? Superintendent hemmed and hawed a little bit and started to think, and he said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be working really hard for the owner of this property. You know, I think it's something that I deserve. And so he bought the tub and installed it in his apartment. And after he did that, he started to think more and more about the things that he might deserve, the things that he could use to improve his life while he was doing all this work for the people around him. And soon he purchased a new stereo and a new TV, and more things started to fill his apartment, a new couch and a new chair. So one day he heard a knock on the door, and it was one of the tenants, and she came to him and said, I really need you to come and fix my tub. It's cracked and it won't hold water anymore, and it's becoming a huge nuisance. Isn't this what you're here for? His response was, well, I can only fix things that I have money when I have money to fix them. And I don't have any money until the owner gives me more. But as he had the door open, she kind of looked inside and saw all of the things that looked so new in his house. Very much this story that Jesus is telling. The owner comes back and says, what have you done? I gave you all this money. I gave you everything that you needed. But you've used it all on yourself. How many of us, even though we may look at this story in a way that we would put ourselves among the better of the servants, how many of us in the story could look at our lives in different areas and say, I've used what God has given me to serve my own interests first. And then I've taken whatever meager amounts are left and I've said, here, God, use this. It's so easy for us to do, and it's so easy not to even think about. But a steward serves God's interests first. And God's interests are that people are loved, that people are cared for, that the gospel spreads to all nations, that the world is more and more transformed into His image, and that people come to know Him more. This is God's top priority. Is it ours? Colossians 3:17 says this, whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. In the way that you spend your money, do you do it as a representative of Jesus? In the way that you spend your time, as a representative of Jesus? The ways that you treat your body, do you do it as a representative of Jesus? The way that you use your talents and gifts and skills, are you aware and intentionally using all that you have been given for Him? Or are there areas of your life that you are only thinking about yourself? Ultimately, a good steward faithfully manages what God has entrusted. In order to be a good steward, God wants you to look at your life, to look at those things like time. We have so much time in each and every day, so much time in our lives, and we don't really know how much time we actually have. And there are so many things, and I can say for myself, there are so many things that distract me from using time wisely. How can I be a better steward of the time that God's given? To use it to know God more, use it to serve God more, use it to prepare myself more for His purposes, to love others, to share the gospel more, or to know the gospel more. What about my body? This body that God has given me, do I treat it well? Like it's a tool, or do I treat it like it's simply something that is for me and me alone? I think oftentimes it's easy to just not think about what I put in my body, what I do with my body, whatever happens, it's easy just to kind of say, this is just, it doesn't affect anyone other than me. But God says our bodies are His, that they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that they're used for His purposes. They're tools to be used for Him. Think about your finances, your possessions, your money. When you look at the money that you spend on the needs of your family or the needs that you feel are important for you to enjoy this life, how do they compare with the ways that you use your money for God, for His purposes? Or when you hold on to, or when you buy things for yourselves, how do you look at them as being available for God's use? I know I've shared this with you in the past before, but I had a friend in seminary who had a sticker that he put on his car, property of God, right on the dashboard. And every time he got in his car, he thought, how can I use this car today to bring glory to God? Does someone need a ride? Can I go get something for someone who doesn't have the ability to get somewhere? Can I use this possession that I have, even though I'm enjoying it, even though I'm using it, even though it's a benefit to me, can I use it for Him? Do we look at our possessions in this way? Our gifts, our talents, these things as well, are things that we can cultivate, that we can develop so that they can be useful to God. Maybe it's physical talents that we have. Maybe it's mental abilities and skills that we have. Rather than simply using them for ourselves, how do we use them for God? The question of this this whole passage is this. The master goes away. He entrusts to his servants his belongings. He comes back and he then holds them to account. says, what have you done with what I've given you? And the first servant says, I've doubled what you've given me. The second servant says, I've doubled what you've given me. And the third servant said, I just sat on it. Didn't do anything with it. And actually, I buried it in the ground when you left. And all this time, I've hardly thought about it again. Hasn't really affected my life one way or the other. To the ones who used what was given, more was given to them. And to the one that did nothing, all was taken away. So the simple question would be that if Christ returned tomorrow, if you were to give an account of the ways that you've been a steward of what God has entrusted to you, how would you respond? And again, this is not just a money thing. This is a whole life thing. And it's not just a me telling you, you need to figure this out. It's a me telling me I need to figure this out. If Christ came tomorrow, have I been faithful? Have I been a good steward? My time, my possessions, my money, my gifts and skills, all these things that have been given to me. Or will I say, sorry, God, I used it all up on myself, and I didn't have anything left to give. I didn't do anything for you, but instead spent my life doing it all for me. There are so many, again, ways in your life that this applies, and this morning I simply want to encourage you to take on this mindset. To take on a mindset not of guilt or frustration over what you have or haven't done, but to take on a mindset of what you can do now. How you can live for God. How you, looking at the things that you have, take an assessment of what you have and say, wow, God, thank you for all that you've given me. How can I now use it to bring you glory? How can I now use it to celebrate you, to honor you, to serve you, to draw others to you? The thing is that when we start to use these things that God has given, He starts to do things. He takes them, and He blesses others, and He blesses us. And so I want to just encourage you to think of life in this framework of stewardship. And let God bless you and use you as He's entrusted you with so many things. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. We thank you that you are the King over all of it. And Lord, we know that we sometimes, we fail to look at it as yours. Lord, this is a problem that actually hurts our relationship with you. It distances us from you. And Lord, that's not what we want. We want to be used by you. We want to glorify you. We want to really be your servants. So help us to be good stewards of what you've entrusted to us. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.